Hey, my name is Bobby Rodriguez. I'm director of Gather, and I am excited to welcome it. It seems like we had a ton of new faces in here. So if you're a new face coming in here for the first time, you can grab me or anybody with a name tag. We can answer any questions that you might have, but we are excited that you're here. And I am excited to introduce our speaker to you, someone that I have been under his leadership for 20 years now. And I'm excited for you guys to meet Kyle Thompson. Come on up here, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, Bobby. Well, it's a joy for me to be with you. I love that most of the people I met tonight said it was their first time. And I said, hey, me too, you know? Awesome. Okay. Hey, I may be old, but I still got it. No. Thank you. Just to tell you a little bit about me, if I have not met you, and I know a number of you in the room. I have a wife, Lucina. We've been married 40 years. In spite of me, she stayed for 40 years. Lucina and I get to speak regularly at Re-Engage because of our marriage story. And I won't go into that, but I will just tell you that I'm a slow learner. God has loved me enough to be patient with me. I know that God is not slow about his promises, and I'm a living example of that. So Lucina and I have three kids. We have a son that should be in this room. He qualifies. I thought, what in the world? Jordan needs to be here. So he's on staff at Watermark, we have a daughter and a son-in-law that have been married for 10 years. We have two grandkids that are really fun. They're 1 and 3 years old. Lucina and I have been at Watermark since it started, and that was an inflection point for me 22 years ago. I was really struggling and just trying to get traction as a follower of Christ, and I knew I needed to. I needed accountability. I needed people in my life to help me and to spur me on. And so I feel like I am the biggest beneficiary of Watermark because God's used this place to radically transform me over the last 22 years. I was an elder from 2001 to 2017. So for the first 17 years of Watermark, I stepped down in 2017. Just because it was time to let the next generation lead, and then I was asked to step back in a couple of years ago. So I've been back in since 2020 as an elder. And so what I thought I'd do tonight is just share with you kind of what's swirling for me when I'm with people. I want to know. I'm relational. I want to know. Hey, what's going on in your heart? What's percolating? What are you wrestling with? And there's one thing that I've wrestled with for really the last couple of years since I jumped back in, and it's led to wrestling with another thing. And so I'm gonna just share some things with you about all that. And then if we have time, I'd love to do a little bit of Q&A. And so really the last weeks and months, there's two things. The big one that's gone on for a while is just life pace. So there's two dimensions. The first is life pace, and that has led to a deeper one that I'm just going to call the spirit focus for me. And so, our cult. So I just got back. It's funny. I got back from Africa 2 weeks ago, and I love going over there because the pace of life is just radically different, and it. It just suits me better. But I think the older I get, the more I realize there is such a tendency. And when I say a cultural tendency, it's in the church. It's not in our world. It's here. And I've been responsible for a part of it. But, you know, things just move so quickly, and we cram so much in. We're trying to manage work requirements, church commitments, relationships. At the same time, we're fielding, 100-plus emails a day, 50 texts, whatever. I didn't stop and count, but it wouldn't surprise me. And when you look at Scripture, I mean all the way from the Old Testament through Revelation, you just see a pace of life that's just radically different. And you see it obviously with Jesus in the Gospels. You know, they're moving 3 miles an hour, and there's a lot of conversation. There's only so much that is happening around them, and so you're able to focus and listen and hear and just go so much deeper. And you think about sometimes I can increase my RPMs because I think I need to do more, or I think I need to be, I think that's a function of being faithful, and I need to activate. And, you know, I just love how God took 12 uneducated, ordinary guys. They were blue-collar guys for the most part. They were in rural areas. You know, Jesus spent 3 years with them, and that was his model to change the world. He wasn't in, you know, didn't spend a lot of time in Jerusalem. He didn't use his platform. He wasn't with the high-capacity people. He was with the ordinary people. And I think about that just as I go through my day, you know, just with trying to minimize clutter. 2 Corinthians 11:3 is a verse that I go to a lot, and you know, I think this is why Paul was so effective after Paul was transformed. And it's just, it says, "I'm afraid that as the serpent was deceived by Eve, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." And what he's just saying is, man, this is not complicated. You know, following Christ, abiding with Christ, walking in the Spirit is not complicated. It's very simple. And but we can tend to make it complicated. I can. A quote that's been really helpful for me on simplicity, it says, "The Christian life is meant to be marked by simplicity. Jesus summed up our purpose with two statements: love God and love people. But in our humanity, we've made complex what God designed to be peaceful, purposeful, and simple." I'll think sometimes during the day, hey, does that define my day today? Peaceful, purposeful, and simple. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stead are programs, methods, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention, but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. The shallowness of our inner experience, the hollowness of our worship, testify that we in this day know God only imperfectly, and the peace of God scarcely at all. We must proceed in the way of simplicity. You know, I've got my four S's, which are simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender. And I kind of recalibrate to those four every day. But I love that my 3-year-old grandson now, if I am with him and I pick my phone up, he says, "Saba, what are you doing? Saba, what are you looking at?" And it's almost like he's calling me out, but he doesn't know he is. He sees I'm distracted. And so my name is Saba, which is grandfather in Hebrew. And it's easy for, my 1-year-old is learning to say Saba before mom and dad. So I'm kind of excited about that. But anyway, I just thought, man, God's using my 3-year-old grandson to teach me, to remind me. You know, that is part of the second part, which is the Spirit focus. And so, you know, we'll talk about the Spirit. We make reference to the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is the power of God in us. There's a reason that Jesus, when he was leaving, told the disciples, "Hey, it's going to be a whole lot better for you guys. I'm leaving." And sometimes we think, man, if I just had Jesus here, you know, if Jesus was just going through my day with me, and it's like, you got it so much better than that. You got the Holy Spirit, and he's in us. And, you know, Paul was the man that Paul was, I think, because of 1 Corinthians 2. And I don't know if you guys have spent much time in that chapter. I would encourage you to go read it, because really it unlocks the key to everything that, you know, when you look at all the epistles, there's really two chapters that Paul takes. One is 1 Corinthians 2, the other is Romans 8. You know, and Romans 8 has, I don't know, 40 verses in it, I can't remember. But Spirit in that chapter, I think, is mentioned 23 times in that one chapter. And so it's laced. You're going to see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 2. But 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Sometimes people will say, hey, how do I know God's will? And I'll say, go read 1 Corinthians 2:12. That's how you know it. And he's gonna direct you, guide you, show you everything. He freely gives those things to us. Now, there's a dimension to all of that. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit, which dwells in you. Again, you see it again in Romans 8. And so, you know, the way I think about this, our grandson has one of those, he's old enough to have a car now. You know, they start them early. And it's one of those little cars, you know, you get in and then you move your feet and the car goes. I don't know if you guys, I grew up on Fred Flintstone. I don't know if you all know who Fred is. But, you know, that was just like Fred's car. And the funny thing is I drive a Yukon and, you know, and it's got, it's an SUV, so it's got a big engine in it. And, but sometimes I think about the spirit that God's given me in myself, and I can have a tendency. I mean, you guys would think I was crazy if I got my Yukon and I, you know, put it in neutral. I started it and I got in the back and I started pushing it because it doesn't have holes, you know, for my feet to reach the ground. So I just get it around by pushing it. And I think that's what I started to realize I often do with a Christian life. I will, in my own flesh, in my effort, I'm a disciplined person. That's just the way I'm wired. And so I can start doing a lot of things where I just kind of gut the Holy Spirit out of it. Which is, you know, my analogy is I'm gutting the engine out of my car. And it's like, why would I do that? I got a V8 engine. You know, this thing will do all kinds of things. It's got incredible power. And that's what God has given us in the Christian life. And God wants us to be disciplined for the purpose of godliness, but we, you know, I've got to plug in and allow the Spirit to activate and slow down. Again, that's why I think it ties so much to pace alive and let God guide and direct and teach and direct me. You know, I think it was... I've confessed this. I've told people in leadership here that I think I'd been an elder for a couple of years. But you know, we all know that that salvation is by grace, and but I don't think I fully grasped that sanctification is also by grace. I had this mindset that I trust Christ. You know, that I get to abide with Christ, and now I need to get after it, you know, and I need to make it happen, and I need to make sure that I'm activating in a way that's allowing me to grow instead of allowing sanctification to happen by God's grace and resting in him and letting him move me and activate. And it's counterintuitive for us in our culture, because everything else we do is really reversed. I mean, we're kind of programmed, whether it's work or anything else. And so what I've done, and I've done this increasingly over the last, you know, 2 or 3 months, is just try to spend more and more of my day just with a heightened awareness, whether I'm in a meeting. You know, I was in a meeting at 10 this morning, and I was, you know, it was actually a group here at Watermark, and they said, hey, we'd love for you to kick us off and just share whatever you want to share. And I just said, hey, you know what? I think it's better that I just listen, because I'm not sure. There's things I could say, and I'm not sure they're going to be helpful, and I just don't sense that the Spirit has got something you need to hear from me on right now. And so I'd love to just be part of your meeting and listen and hear. And if something percolates, I'll let you know. But just being, for me, just being comfortable, you know, in that, not feeling like, hey, I need to be the answer man, because I'm not, you know. And if I ever think I am, then I'm in trouble. And so, but, you know, even it's been sweet because even knowing that, you know, one of the things I remind myself of is God is pulling millions of levers constantly. He's sovereign over everything. And for the most part, I'm just not aware of what he's doing. I mean, you know, we'll have glimpses where we see maybe something in the past where he's orchestrated things, but just trying to watch and listen and see, okay, there was another lever. He just did something else. And getting in touch with God's sovereignty. And again, it's allowing him to speak through all of those circumstances. I'm gonna talk about just some real practical things that have been helpful in the midst of that. But you know, what's the other thing that has been convicting as I've slowed down and done that, I see how much I do that's in the flesh. But most people don't know it, you know, because you can you can say the right thing, you know, you can plug, I'm an introvert, and so walking into a room of people that I don't know, it can be uncomfortable for me, and so then I meet people that I don't know, and what I'm doing is I can so quickly default to coping mechanisms, you know, of what you do when you're in, rather than recognizing this is somebody, I mean, this is somebody God made, you know, and he's going to have something for me because we're all different. He's got something for us through everybody. He's constantly teaching us and, again, revealing himself in a multitude of ways, and I can just miss that because I'm focused on my insecurity so that I don't come across awkward. And then wonder, okay, did that person, was that okay? Did they like me? And go to the next person. I mean, that's just, I'm 63 years old, you know, and I'm still doing stuff like that. And so what's good is God constantly gives us do-overs. This is a book of do-overs. I mean, you look at everybody God used, the people that wrote our Bible, they didn't just mess up. I mean, they killed people. They had multiple wives. You know, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And yet, I love Hebrews 12, the Hall of Faith, because there are people in there like Samson, and you're like, what in the world is he doing in there? I mean, that guy. But again, it's where, and what I love about that chapter is it doesn't mention their sin. You know, what it mentions is just how God used them. So I'm really getting off of what I was going to talk about. All right. So I'm gonna challenge you guys to slow down and, you know, just listen. Try to pick up the things that are going on and just ask the Spirit to speak to you. You know, I love that, you know, in Matthew 7 is where God says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask? And so much I don't pray, I don't ask. You know, even, you know, Lucy and I were praying before I drove up here, and then I was sitting in my car out there and just, you know, it's just like praying, God, I don't know what all you're going to do, but I just want to ask, you know, that there's something that you're in my journey that would be helpful to the folks I get to be with. So here's five things that have been helpful for me in trying to focus on walking in the Spirit. And so one is just calibrating my heart in the morning. You know, if I get up and I start moving into the stuff that's going on in my day, I just get swept up. And, you know, it might be a couple of hours before I just think, oh, gosh, you know, I need to slow down. And so I often say that I, you know, Galatians 5 is a chapter that talks about walking in the Spirit and in the flesh. And my body wakes up early in the morning, but the spirit in me doesn't wake up at the same time. When I wake up, I'm in the flesh. I just am. And it's like, one of the things I love is that, you know, we know that in Ephesians 6 that Paul knows that we wake up in the flesh. That's why he said, put the armor of God on. And he goes through, you know, and so I think about that, putting my clothes on. So anyway, just calibrating my heart in the morning. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 is where he talks about that. But I, as I read scripture, I can read it. And again, I can overcomplicate it. And breathing has been a good analogy for me as I read scripture. And so the way I think about it is as I'm, you know, when I breathe, I have to suck in and then I have to blow out. And you all are not noticing me doing that. You're doing the same thing, by the way. But we're pre-programmed to do that. And I really think we're pre-programmed. God's pre-programmed us through the Spirit to take Scripture in and then breathe prayer back out. And so that's an easy, simple way for me to apply what I'm reading is to allow the Word that comes in to then turn it into prayer. And I don't have to do that with every, you know, sentence, but just make sure that's part of what's happening in the morning when I'm calibrating my heart. Number two is staying spiritually alert. And, you know, in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, you know, after he talks about the armor of God, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray in the Spirit at all times. And he uses the term alert. And I love that in Colossians 4, where he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so I think about that word alert during, you know, my day, just how I want to be alert. I want to be alert. I want to be aware. And I want to be sensitive to what God's doing. So that's the second one, is staying spiritually alert. Number three is just evaluating what's percolating up. And I love that in Galatians 5, God not only told us what walking in the flesh and the Spirit is, he gave us words to associate with it. So, you know, he talks about what the deeds of the flesh are, envy, jealousy, malice, you know, and those words, what's been good for me is to try to put some, put some skin behind those words. I see situations where there's no question it's envy and jealousy. I'm just like, dadgum, why'd that happen over there to that guy? You know, that should have been me. And or somebody will say something that I think was really helpful, and I'll just say, dadgum, I wish I'd have said that. Instead of celebrating, man, that's awesome. And that's just, it's repulsive, but it's okay. God knows it, you know. I mean, it's like he's more aware of it than I am, but just recognizing it so that I can take that thought captive, I can acknowledge it, I can confess it, I can repent. And we all know what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, you know, but having elements of what that looks like also. And, you know, I'm bouncing back and forth constantly. And my wife is helping move my mother-in-law into assisted living, and she was driving back last night, and, you know, I knew she was worn out, and I was trying to be sensitive and listen, but I also had some specific, I had an agenda, you know, there's things, and I had the hardest time just trying to say, okay, I need to let go of that, you know, wait till Lucina gets home, I don't need to talk about that, I need to focus on how I can love and serve her right now. And I don't do a great job of that. So, but at least I can grow through that. You know, I think so much of it is, again, this is the way the Spirit sanctifies us. I love that in 1 Timothy, Paul says, hey, I'm the sinner of all sinners. And I think sometimes as we become more and more aware, we don't want to get discouraged. We want to be encouraged, but we're also going to recognize there's probably going to be more and more things that we notice. Fourth, listen to people. You know, God speaks most clearly through his word. He speaks very clearly through his people. And we all have to be discerning. When I'm visiting with people, and if I'm going to say something that's more direct, I always, I'm trying to think what scripture backs that up, because I want to be careful that I don't say something that's not biblical and somebody listens to it and does it. And so, but I would just encourage you, Ecclesiastes 5, go read Ecclesiastes 5. You know, it just, I love it because it start, you know, it's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and it's the end of his life. He probably spoke a lot. I suspect that we know that there were men in Solomon's life that were speaking into him, but it just talks about draw near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools. Do not be hasty in word, impulsive in thought. Let your words be few. The dream comes through much effort. The voice of a fool comes through many words. Don't let your speech cause you to sin. For in many dreams and in many words there is emptiness. Rather fear God. And, you know, just Ecclesiastes 5 has helped me talk less. You know, walk in a room, ask questions, listen, say, try to discern, is there something God would have me say right now? And that's hard. That's really hard because, again, I have so many different motivations, you know, for why I might say something. And so just sometimes people get frustrated with me because I spend so much time trying to figure out if I should say something. By the time I say something, the conversation's moved about 10 minutes. And I'm going to say, hey, you know what we were talking about? Anyway, the last one is just learning the reliance on the Spirit, the subtle ways he speaks, guides, directs, and allowed Paul to be the man that he was. We're one of the great benefits of memorizing Scripture is you can run Scripture through your heart constantly. You know, God, it's just another tool that the Spirit has to speak to you. And so if that's something that you are committed to do, I would encourage you guys to put 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on your list for this year. I've got some of the elders and I are memorizing that together right now, and it's been so great, you know, for me just to realize and recognize just the significance of all that's in that chapter and just allow God to use that. You know, Paul talks a lot about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom that's from God. And so, anyway, you know what? I used all my time. And are there a couple of questions? If there are, I mean, I'd love to answer them. The more specific and personal, you know, it can relate to this place if you want. You can ask me really anything, if there would be anything that would be helpful. So I'm glad to take, you know, one or two questions. And by the way, my role as an elder, our job is to serve you. I was so excited when Bobby and Lindsay reached out and invited me to come because I'm like, of course, you know. I mean, I think we set this up, I don't know, 6 months ago, long time ago. But, I mean, I've been excited and looking forward to that, and I'd love to just come hang out some of the time, too. But anything that would be helpful, just real quick. Yes.
Yeah. I really needed to hear slow down the pace. That's a good idea, and I'd love to do that. But what do you tell yourself when everything's coming at you? How do you, you know? And you know you need to say no, and you want to say no, but you don't. You can't say no. That's what do you tell yourself?
Yeah, that's so good. You know what? I started looking at how many times Jesus said no, and that started giving me freedom. Here's what I've done: when I wake up in the morning, if I've got 100 things on my list to do, I remind myself that I only have to do two things. And, you know, life's a vapor. It really is. And I have 363 weeks left, according to Psalm 90. And I may not have that many left. One of the things I do now that's been really helpful, every week I count another one off and I think about what would I have done different the last week and what's coming up next week. But it starts to prioritize. But I know I just have to do two things every day. And if I do 80 things on my list and I don't do those two things, then it's a wasted day. And if I do 10 things out of 100 and I've done those two, then I've been faithful today. All I have to do is be faithful today. God doesn't need me to do anything. He's going to do what he's going to do supernaturally. And I think sometimes I convince myself there's places I need to be. I don't need to be anywhere other than where I am. It's given me so much freedom to spend time with my one-year-old and my three-year-old. That's when I'm with them, that's where I need to be. So the two things, I need to deepen in intimacy with God, and I need to deepen in intimacy and love with my neighbor, the people God puts right around me. For me, that's my wife. That's the people that live in our home. We have other people that are not our family that live with us. It's my kids. It's my grandkids. It's my widow mother. It's my widowed mother-in-law. It's my widowed sister-in-law. Anyway, I've given myself freedom because I think I can guilt myself into doing stuff. And I just say, God, I love that he gives us all 24 hours. And realistically, we need to sleep 8 hours. So why do I somehow think I need to do more when Jesus did the same thing? The dude slept. I mean, I think he took naps. Sea of Galilee, I took a nap today, 45-minute nap. I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. All right, so is there one more? Do I have time for one more? If that's helpful.
Will you be at the gathering?
I'll hang out a little bit, so I'd love to. I took a nap. I can stay up an extra 45 minutes.
Earlier you mentioned four S's. Can you repeat those?
Yes. So it's simplicity is the first one. And I always use that 2 Corinthians 11:3. Silence and solitude. I think of those as spiritual disciplines. When I drive, I don't turn my radio on. You know, I would encourage that. I get silence and solitude at my home, but I've just started to just try to build that more and more into my life and then surrender. You know, at the end of the day, so those are the four S's. And I actually have a little sheet that I'll send to Lindsay if any of you want it that really unpacks those four things. And it gives verses behind each one. And so if you want that, I'm glad to share it.
Kyle, I have a question.
Okay.
As members of this body, what are ways that we can care for you and pray for you?
Well, that's really sweet. You know, we're just just to be candid, so we have a new elder team. You know, I've been around for a long time. Mickey's incredible. I mean, the guys are really great. Blake has been here a long time. He's been an elder. Todd Anders was one of the founders of the church. He's one of the guys that put me in as an elder when the church started, Ben Caldwell. And so the five of us right now, one of the things I've said is that there's two main things we have to do as elders. And if we don't do those two things, there's a lot of things under that. But number one, we have to continually deepen an intimacy with God. And if I'm not God's man, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm going to mess a lot of stuff up. And it's why in James 3:1, he says, hey, let not many of you be teachers and leaders. You know, the accountability comes with responsibility. You see the same thing in Hebrews 13:17. And so And then we all have to make sure our marriages and our relationships with our kids and our mothers, you know, or the people are excellent. If we're not caring for and shepherding them, what are we doing? How do we think we can care for other people? And then we have to shepherd each other. And so we're trying to develop relationships where that happens right now. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter that talks about the body of Christ, and we're all different, and we are all different. And so we're spending a lot of time on that. We're not spending a lot of time on church business, you know, but we're spending a lot of relational time right now. We're trying to spend a lot of time praying together, trying to spend time knowing how we can pray for each other. You know, one of the guys in our group is adopted, and I didn't even know that. And he's on a journey to discover his mom and dad, and I'm just like, man, this is, I mean, as you get to know really what's going on with people, you know, then you can really lead and serve with them. So I would just say, hey, that God would weave our and knit our hearts together so we can serve him together. And the other is really staying out of the way, if you will. So 2 years ago, we were down to two elders, and I was involved in way too much. And I love this place because God's used it so much in my life, and I'm having a hard time now because it's time for me to step back and not be as involved. And so I'm trying to do that and not care as much, if that makes sense. And so that's been a good, you can pray for me, you know, just that I just need to be faithful to do what God wants me to do. He doesn't need me to do anything around here. I want to be involved in stuff because I love it, not because somehow it makes things better. So anyway, thank you. I loved getting to be with you. I'd love to come hang out with you again. So thank you. Thanks, buddy.